Well, good morning. If we haven't met yet, my name's Hans, and I've got the privilege of not only being one of the pastors of this church, but also just speaking to you this morning on this topic of happiness. So how about we pray as we explore this topic? Let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we look at this topic of happiness and consider whether it's the most important thing in the world or in our lives, Lord, that you would help us. You would help us to see what is true about happiness and our world and about you. And we would live in response. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to a friend last week, and we were talking about life, and we were talking about his work, and he's got a really kind of powerful job where he earns a lot of money. And I said, you must love your job. He goes, no, I hate it. I said, well, why do you do your job? He goes, oh, because he gives me the money that I need and the freedom that I need to do what I like to do on the weekends. And I said, so basically what you're saying is you work a job you don't really like for the weekends. He goes, yeah, that's exactly what I do. And I said, so what do you do on the weekends? And he talked about how he goes yachting and he eats great food and he hangs out with friends and he goes to parties and all this kind of stuff. So I said, you're really living for the weekend because the things on the weekend make you happy. And we were talking a little bit about happiness, and he said, because in the end, happiness is all we've got. Happiness is the ultimate thing. I also remember talking to a widow a number of years ago, and this widow had just lost her husband, of course, because unfortunately widows have, but we were talking about how she feels about her life right now. And she said, I feel okay because my husband got to see his kids get married and be really happy with somebody. And we were talking, and she said the chief goal or the thing that she wanted for her children more than anything was happiness. She wanted them to be happy. If you ask most people today, what is the point of life? I think most people would say the point of life is to be happy, to find something or a group of things that make you happy. And so we're on this pursuit of happiness. And yet, I wonder if you've noticed, even though we've got more and more things to make us happy, if statistics are true, and I think they are, we're far more depressed than we've ever been. Well, we're far less happy than we've ever been. Yes, we may have parts of our lives that bring us happiness. We may be, as my friend does, go yachting on Sydney Harbour, which he's doing this morning. And that's going to bring him great happiness. But then Monday comes around again. And that happiness, where is it? I wonder if you've ever thought about that mantra. That our lives, the point of our lives is to pursue happiness. And whether that's true. And I wonder if you have been on the pursuit of happiness. I wonder if you have searched out in your life things that have made you happy. And can I just ask you, if you have, has that happiness been long-lasting? Or has it dissipated? So we're going to look at this idea of happiness under three headings. We're going to see, first, our pursuit of happiness and its pitfalls. Secondly, what's better than happiness? And thirdly, how to have it. The it there is what's better than happiness, but I didn't want to give it away. So the 3 points, our pursuit of happiness and its pitfalls, what's better than happiness, how to have it. I want to ask, under the first point, our pursuit of happiness and its pitfalls, what makes you happy? What is it? What is it that makes you happy? For some of us, it's a spouse, the person we're sitting next to. There's something about them when you interact with your spouse that makes you very happy. Your heart still skips a beat. You are madly in love with this person and you can't think of being apart from this person. And when you are, you want to get back together with them as soon as possible because that person makes you happy. For others of us, it's our children. You know, just being around our kids, it's great. And they make us happy. Just how funny they are or how much fun we have. For others of us, it's work. There is something about getting to work and finding the next challenge at work. And when we reach the pinnacle of that challenge, when we defeat that challenge, we are then happy. Or for some of us, it's a hobby. It may be going to the gym. It may be playing the best sport in the world, basketball. It may be yachting or going on a car ride or something like that. For others of us, it is a possession. I'm a guitarist. I love guitars and I'm on some Facebook groups and it's interesting how many people will put a photo of their guitar up and say, or their guitars or their amps or whatever, and say, this truly makes me happy. And what's interesting is you go to the comments of them and they go, but can you help me make this guitar stay in tune? I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't really make you happy if it doesn't stay in tune. What makes you truly happy? Over this last week, I've been reading a lot about happiness and what different people have said about happiness. And what people who have studied happiness have all said, almost in agreement, is the pursuit of happiness centers on myself. Centers on myself. It is what makes me happy. So we get the promotion, or we get the thing, or we get the reward, or we get the experience, or we have the relationship. So therefore, I'm happy. And think about the phrase that we use around happiness. What makes me happy? And so the pursuit of happiness is actually quite self-centered. Blank makes me happy. This makes me happy. And whatever makes you happy actually has to serve you to make you happy. So if you've got a spouse which makes you happy, the problem there is, what happens when you have a fight? Now, I'm sure that none of the married couples here ever have a fight, but imagine if you did. Wouldn't your happiness maybe be stripped away then? Or what happens if you have a great possession and it breaks? What happens if you get laid off at work or there's a restructuring at work and the team and the achievements that made you happy, well, history because you're put in another division and you actually don't like it. What about then? So not only the problem with happiness is it can be a very, very selfish thing. It's ultimately not long-lasting. It's fleeting. It is based on circumstances. We get the promotion, but then it goes. I was talking to another friend about 6 months ago. And during, in the midst of COVID, he was asked to come into to his business, the business that he worked in the city. And it's kind of weird. He's like, it's COVID, but his bosses want to celebrate with him because they gave him a promotion. He's like, yes, I've got this promotion. He's happy. He said he was driving on the way home. He was playing Bon Jovi on the way home as loud as he could because he's really happy. He gets in the door and he says to his wife, guess what? I got a promotion. And she goes, oh, that's great. We've got to get dinner on the table. He's been vomiting. She won't leave him alone, all this kind of stuff. And he said his happiness went like that. Happiness is very, very temporal. I've got another friend who found happiness in sport. And then he got very, very sick. And he couldn't play the sports he loved. Happiness is not only very self-centered, but it can be very self-centered. But it's also very temporal. So the question is there something better? Is there something better than happiness? That's our second point. Is there something better than happiness, or what's better than happiness? If you read the people that have spoken about happiness, they'll talk about different things that's better than happiness. Viktor Frankl, for example, will say meaning is better than happiness. And there's different people who will say, actually, serving others is better than happiness. But if you combine what they all say together, you have one word. And in fact, a lot of people who have written on happiness say that what is better than happiness is joy. What is better than happiness is joy. Now, here's the problem, right? Most of us haven't really thought about happiness, so what we do is we put happiness and joy together so that if I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling joyful. But happiness and joy are very, very different things. Even though they may feel somewhat similar, they are actually different things. I read a book over the last couple of weeks called The Second Mountain by David Brooks. David Brooks was very, very happy. He was a New York Times columnist, he still is, and he's a published writer. He's on TV a few times a week on PBS in the States, and he's a well-known person. And yet, his life fell apart. And when his life fell apart, he climbed what he calls the second mountain, and he found joy. He says he had happiness, then his life came apart, and now he's got joy. Here's what he talks about, the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness comes as we move toward our goals. When things go our way, you get a big promotion. You graduate from college. Your team wins the Super Bowl. You have a delicious meal. Happiness often has to do with some success, some new ability, or some heightened sensual pleasure. Joy tends to involve some transcendence of self. It's when the skin barrier between you and some other person or entity fades away and you feel fused together. Joy is present when mother and baby are gazing adoringly into each other's eyes. When a hiker is overwhelmed by beauty in the woods and feels at one with nature. When a gaggle of friends are dancing deliriously in unison. And what Brooks says and other writers say is you'll pursue joy when you forget about yourself. The problem with happiness is, as we've said, I am at the center of my own happiness because it's all about me. Joy is when you forget about yourself and you're blown away by something else. And in fact, writers about happiness and joy all talk about the spiritual component. In fact, one of the things about David Brooks is he actually became a Christian. And that's where he found his ultimate joy. He found his ultimate joy in Jesus himself. So how do you find joy? How do you find joy? Well, in Psalm 100, we see a man who is overjoyed, I would say. In Psalm 100, he is a man who is praising God, full of joy. And you see that in verse 1. He's saying, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. He's saying there is something about my feelings right now of joy that I just want to shout it. And he wants the whole world to shout it. Why is this man full of joy? I think there's two things. The first is that he knows the God he knows God and knows who he is. Have a look at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Notice who is at the center of those few sentences. It is God. It is not himself. And remember, happiness is very temporal. God is eternal. And the idea of God being at the center of this guy's life is he has lost himself, he has forgotten himself, and it's all about God. It is God who's created everything. It is not me. It is God who is taking care of me, not the other way around. I'm not taking care of myself, or rather. It is God who is at the center of everything. See, the first step that the Bible says to find joy is to know that God has created everything and He is eternal. Unlike happiness, which is so temporary, knowing God will span eternity, and it can never be taken away. Never can be taken away. As we've seen, happiness can be taken away in a moment. You're deliriously happy in marriage, and yet that person is taken away by cancer. You're deliriously happy in your job, and it gets restructured, and you are shown the door. You are deliriously happy with the car, and then it breaks down. God is eternal, and He has created Him. He's created everything. And here's the thing, all the way through this psalm, we see praise and worship. Why is that so integral to this man's joy? Because what we've got to realize is that praising something is kind of the end game of enjoying something. I don't know if you've ever been to a movie and you've just enjoyed it so much. What do you want to do? You want to tell everybody about it, because there's a sense in which telling everybody about it and praising the movie means that you're enjoying it more. Or have you ever seen two people who have just fallen in love and you get them to talk about the other person, they're gushing with praise for that person. And you can see that it's not, they're not gushing with praise in a way that's, you know, they're down about it. No, they're overjoyed, because praising the thing that you love is a way of enjoying it. Here is the psalmist. He is worshiping God. He is praising God. And therefore, he is actually enjoying it. And in praise is something else. What do you forget? You actually forget about yourself. You forget about yourself. You forget, really, almost that you exist. Because it's not about you, it's about this other person or this other thing. When your life is lived for God, you forget about yourself and you live for Him. But here's the other thing. You not only know that God is eternal, or who He is, you know what He's done. Have a look at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now here's the question. How does the psalmist know that God is good? How does the psalmist know that God's love endures forever? How does the psalmist know that God is faithful and His faithfulness endures forever? It is because what God has done. You see, all the way through the Bible, there are stories of God's love for His people. I'm not sure if you've seen the movies which talk about the Exodus, which center really on Moses and Pharaoh. But in the Bible, it's God rescuing His people because He loves them. God actually dealing with people's sin because He loves them. And we know that God's love and faithfulness all the way through the Bible ends up in our forgiveness, ends up in Jesus dying for us on the cross. You see, the problem of chasing happiness is that we chase happiness without knowing God. And finding our happiness in other things, not God, is something that the Bible actually calls idolatry. Well, instead of worshiping God, we worship something else. We worship a spouse, a job, money, whatever. And we put that at the center of our lives. And what Jesus does, or what God does rather, comes down in the person of Jesus to die for us, to take the punishment we deserve for putting other things at the center of our lives. But this also deals with the other, another problem of happiness. I was talking to my friend who is yachting on Sydney Harbour this morning. And I was saying, why do you pursue all these things? Why do you pursue, you know, yachting or whatever it is to make you happy? Why the pursuit of happiness? He said, because when I am happy, I forget. I was like, wow, okay. What do you forget? He goes, all the things that I've done wrong. He forgets about the time that he busted up his marriage. He forgets about the time that he let his kids down because he forgot about going to their sporting game or sporting match. He forgets about letting down his parents. He forgets about all the things that he's done wrong because when he is fully happy, he's just so in the moment and he's forgetting about those things. But when he goes home on a Sunday night or a Monday night, and the laughter of children is not there, and he sees the marriage photo from the wedding, and he realizes that he stuffed up, he just starts thinking, well, where can I find happiness? See, the beautiful thing about finding joy in God is realizing that he is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues. And we see that on the cross where he dies to take your guilt and your shame away. So you don't have to medicate yourself in happiness. You can say, it's all been taken away. You can stand acknowledging, yes, you have hurt people, but not having to live with this crushing guilt. I dare say there are some people here that are looking to happiness, looking to things that make them happy just so they forget. Remembering what Jesus has done for you, or acknowledging that he has died in your place to forgive you of your sins, means that you can remember and still live a life free of guilt. And a life free of guilt in praise to Jesus means a life of joy. So here's the question. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do now? Well, can I say two things? Firstly, look at the things that give you a positive emotional feeling and ask yourself this question. Is it happiness or joy? Now, here's what I'm not saying all the way through this. I'm not saying happiness is always bad. You can be truly happy in something, but just know that it's going to bring you happiness and it's going to be temporary. But I wonder if there's things in your life where you forget yourself and it brings you joy. But the other thing to ask about happiness is this. Is the thing that you're chasing that brings you happiness, is it going to end in your destruction? Is that conversation that brings you happiness with that person at work going to end in destruction? Is the parties that maybe we go to going to end in destruction? Is our pursuit of our hobbies going to end up in financial ruin? Ask ourselves, is it joy or is it happiness? And where's this happiness leading? Secondly, if you're trying to find eternal happiness or eternal joy or true joy, what the Bible says is you'll only find it by knowing God. And so there's two things that you can do. Maybe you're trying to figure out where you're at with Jesus, or you've just been brought along today. Come to church over the next couple of weeks as we look at the book of Romans, because there you will find the basics of the Christian faith. You'll find what it is, what we believe, and what the Bible talks about us and God. But also, here's the second thing you can do. Come to Introducing Jesus, which starts in March. Come with all your questions. Come and find out who Jesus is. Because maybe, just maybe, if you find Jesus, you'll find joy. Actually, I want to say it's stronger than that. If you do find Jesus, you will find joy. And joy is far better than happiness. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that we would seek joy over happiness, that we would want to find the times where we lose ourselves. But Lord, help us to know that the chief place that we're going to find joy, the ultimate place we're going to find joy, is in you. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us here that we will not pursue happiness, but we will pursue joy, and joy especially in you. Amen.